The following message is from Pastor Lester Cruzat of Emmanuel Community Church. More information about the ministry of Emmanuel Community Church can be found at emmanuelcommunity.org.
Just this past April, one of the biggest YouTube influencers recently amplified in an already existing hypothetical debate across social media platforms. Okay, with this tweet. Test this. Okay. With the image of 100 men on one side and a gorilla on the other, he was actually alluding to an old argument as to who would win in a hypothetical battle, 100 men or one gorilla. Those arguing for the gorilla, by the way, who thinks the gorilla would win? Raise your hands. Okay. Who thinks the men would win? Raise your hands. All right, let's see. Those arguing for the gorilla reasoned that gorillas have incredible strength, about 10 times more than the average human. They can tear down banana trees and bend steel pipes. Gorillas have a powerful bite, and they are incredibly durable. Do you guys know that? Yes, yes, you did. Wildcats, right? Yes. Those arguing for 100 men winning think the sheer numbers would be enough to overwhelm the gorilla, especially if it was a coordinated attack. Right? Naturally, experts were asked this very question. And it was one of these scientists that have studied gorillas for over 20 years that had an answer that really intrigued me. She said that although gorillas have immense power due to the composition of their muscles, gorillas were actually built for short, strong, explosive bursts of strength. The gorilla would go all out, expending all of its energy in the beginning, and although there would certainly be casualties, human casualties, the total effect of the massive number of attackers would eventually wear down the gorilla, and the gorilla would be too exhausted to fight anymore. I never thought about it before, but the crucial element the gorilla lacks for sustained fighting is rest. Right? Fatigue ultimately would likely lead to its defeat. It made me realize that in the middle of the challenges and opportunities ahead for you graduates, there lies, right? There's a virtual need, right, in all that is ahead of you to find rest, right? To find rest. And I'm not talking about any type of rest. I'm talking about the truest sense of rest, right? I'm not talking about a rest that you can get from glimpses of when you get a great night's sleep, a relaxing vacation, or vegging out in front of your screen after a long, hard day. I'm talking about a spiritual rest you were always meant to have, a rest you were made to have. Okay. But what are we looking to find rest from? On a Facebook post by one of my old college friends, he gives the account of the life of Marcus Persson, the creator of Minecraft. Any Minecraft players? Or used to? Yes. It begins with this phrase, "I'm a billionaire and I want to give it all back." Marcus Persson sold Minecraft for $2.5 billion. Then he bought a $70 million mansion and disappeared into depression. Here's how $1 billion broke him. Marcus was a builder, not a CEO, not a manager, not a brand. He loved writing code. In 2009, he launched Minecraft, just him, a keyboard and a vision. No ads, no investors, no corporate gloss, just pure, raw creativity. And all of a sudden, it exploded. It exploded. By 2014, he was selling 15,000 copies of this game a day. He's virtually printing money. But with success came the cancer of complexity. Legal fires, meeting after meeting, a culture war between passion and profit. So he actually walked away. Microsoft stepped in, and he took home $1.6 billion. He bought a $70 million mansion. He had candy rooms, car turntables, views of L.A. He had everything except for peace. His tweets after the deal were heartbreaking. He said this, "Able to do whatever I want and never felt more isolated. The problem with getting everything is you run out of reasons to keep trying." Marcus Persson lived the rich life that I thought I wanted growing up, actually. During my younger years, especially well into my high school years, I don't know how or why, but I developed this particular worldview that tormented me to no end. I fell into the deep belief that if I don't succeed, if I don't work hard, if I don't get the grades, I get the degree, if I don't get the degrees, get the high income earning job, there's nothing left to life but becoming a bum. Either you succeed in this rat race of life, or you become a reject and failure of society. There is no in between. You either succeed or you fail. And naturally, this led to so much anxiousness, so much fear and pressure put upon me by me. Expectations with ultimatums that said, I will be a doctor. I will be a doctor. I will have respect and prestige. I need to, otherwise I will have nothing. My rest and inner peace would be found once I get what I wanted, right? This is where many of us go wrong. This is where we find our unrest. We sometimes unintentionally think who I am is in what I do. It's in what I accomplish. This is where I find my value and worth, right? It's these things that evaluate and dictate who I am and how much I'm worth. But these proclamations of who we say we are, I'm a hard worker, I'm a student of this university, I have this degree, I am an accomplished artist, etc., etc. True rest is not found in these false identities either. These things will never satisfy the inner longings of our hearts, right? It is in the hard grind of daily doing, striving, achieving, gaining, and finding our identity, worth, and meaning in these things that will lead to constant hurt, constant fatigue, and burnout. It leads to a life of self-absorption, malfunction, and sometimes even destruction. So, how do we go about finding our true rest from this? How do we do that? Psalm 1 gives an amazing description of what a blessed person looks like. One who is utterly happy, at peace, in total contentment. In verse 3, the author then gives such a powerful image of what it looks like to be a blessed person. Psalm 1:3 says this, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither." What is this tree actually doing, I ask you, right? What is this tree actually doing? Yes. That's a nice screen. Oh, Grace, can we have one for the howl? No. Beautiful. What is this tree actually doing? It's just existing, right? Some would say even resting. It is there. It's just there, just being itself, flourishing and vibrant as it's covered with its fruit. And this tree is strong. It's resilient. It's indestructible. How come? Because why? It exists by what? The strong and life-giving streams of water. The tree is not doing, but being, right? Right next to the source of where it was made to rest and in turn flourish. This is what the blessed man is like, just being. A human being, not a human doing, right? Just resting, freely being who he is. And how is this possible, right? All because he's by his life source, right? All because he's by his life source. And where is that? Where can we find our streams of water, our life source? Again, the Bible tells us, Isaiah 30:15, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength." Psalm 91:1, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High, you will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him." Matthew 11:28-29, coming straight from Jesus himself. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I will find rest for your souls." Graduates, brothers and sisters, here is your life source. Here is your rest. There's no other place. There's no other place you will find this true rest than being in the presence and arms of Jesus. This is where your deep spiritual rest will be found. This is the rest you are meant to have. This is the rest you are made for. A human being before a human doing. That's what God calls us to. In my unrest of my own pressure and anxiety, trying to live up to these expectations that I put on myself, it was not until the end of my senior year of high school when a persistent Christian friend brought me to this week-long church Christian camp, and this was after years of refusing to go with him. It was at this Christian camp for the first time that I found myself in Jesus' loving arms of assurance and security, and it was there that I readily accepted Jesus as my Savior, Lord, and friend. I was finally by my streams of living water, my resting place from the noise of achieving, longing for the riches and power of this world, from the seeking of my own self-worth through money, power, and prestige, all silenced in the embrace of Jesus, who proclaims who I really am. Before I am a pastor, before I am a father, before I am anything, I am a child of God. He says, I am a child of God. You are a child of God. That's who you are. So come unto me, and you shall find rest for your restless soul. 100 men versus 1 gorilla. Who is your 100 men? As you graduate from your schools, who or what are you struggling against? Maybe it's a sense of your own self-worth. Maybe it's a relentless pursuit of trying to find your value in a respectable major or a future lifestyle or a career, a lifestyle you think that will give you everything you need. Maybe it's battling expectations placed on by you or by your parents. Before you are anything, before you are a student, before you are an achieving graduate, before being whatever profession you're pursuing to be, you are first and foremost a child of God, and a child of God will always, 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 always find their rest in the arms of a good, good Father. Amen? Let's pray.